It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
City of Chicago with Hoodie on Cap, 312-332-3776.
So I love these old these barbershop conversations about Phil Jackson and Pat Riley, two of the best we've ever seen in the NBA.
Correct. And so they picked five guys that each man had either coached or acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pat never coached LeBron. And he never coached Bosch, and he never coached Wade, but he signed those guys or acquired them in a trade.
Yes.
So you've got Phil's team. Read it again, Hoodie.
Well, Phil's team is Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. the Lakers, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
And then for Team Pat, it's Magic, it's Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosch, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go. Let's go to the phones and see who would win. Mitchell in Naperville. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Mitch.
What up?
Phil's team definitely runs that. They all ran the same offense. You're essentially subbing Ron Harper for Kobe Bryant. You've got two defensive role players who don't need the ball in their hand the entire time, in Scottie and Dennis Rodman, who both probably willfully submit to the superior talent on the team, Mike, Shaq, Kobe. Whereas on the other team, LeBron and Magic are basically redundant. One's a point guard. The other one's essentially a point forward. Neither one of them play good defense. And yes, J-Hood, that Magic was a terrible defender. I think Sleepy Floyd dropped 51 on him in a playoff game one time.
Well.
And just to correct you, Cap, actually Pat Riley did coach Dwayne Wade. I think it was in the 2006 season. But, yeah, I'll hang up. And they only got one clutch guy, Dwayne Wade. So the Bulls have two of them. So there you go. I'll hang up.
There you go.
I don't know if Magic was a terrible defender. I don't agree with that. But Sleepy Floyd was a hell of a player, though.
He was. A very good player.
Eric Sleepy Floyd.
From Georgetown.
Yes.
There you go. Chris on the north side. Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
Yeah, guys. To follow up on that call, I would say the same thing. Same thing your Twitter guys were saying. You're going to put the worm on LeBron all day long. That's going to get rid of him, right? And if Phil showed us anything, he's going to put Pippen on Magic. You know, didn't Pippen shut Magic down? That's how Phil won his first championship with the Bulls. So I think we got to look at it more from a defensive or from a coaching defensive angle, that Phil would outcoach Pat any day of the week.
All right.
Phil, Pat was pretty damn good coach,
a hell of a coach. Absolutely.
A hell of a coach. Bill is listening to us where it's a lot warmer in Malibu. Hey, Bill.
Hey, boys. I heard about you brought up Arvidas. And Arvidas, he was one of the best players this league has seen in a long, long time. You guys have your list, but the footwork and the artwork, and he was straight from the motherland of Russia. Hey, where's Benetti? I need to do a game with him again. You know, I'm the Sasquatch. You know, Arvidas.
Bill. Well, Bill, I agree with you, Bill. I mean, you're right. The footwork was terrific from Sabonis. I remember that very well. Yes,
he was built very, very big up top too, but his legs, they were shot by the time he came to the States. I'm having an acid flashback. Give me a minute here.
Very good.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you.
Love your work on the Pac-12 Network.
And yes, it's outstanding.
As well as ESPN.
It's outstanding.
I wonder, will the Sox bring him back for a game? Him and Benetti. I wonder, will that happen?
That would be it was great. It was great.
He's just out of his mind.
Kenneth in University Village.
What's up, guys?
Go Flames!
What's going on? Listen, let's just start with any team that Michael Jordan's on is going to win. Okay, let's just start with that. All right,
that's the end of the conversation then.
That's the end of the
Thanks
conversation. It's literally that easy. I don't care who's coaching. Hoodie, you could be the coach.
Well,
if Jordan's on that team, well, because you're not going to have any input anyway, right? It's Jordan.
That's true.
Okay. Any team that Jordan is on is going to win. And one of the callers did say, was one of my points, that all the people on Phil's team have run the triangle. So I think, you know, that's going to be something that's going to be big. And then, listen, I put Scotty on Magic, and then definitely put Rodman on LeBron, and LeBron disappears. Okay, guys.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Kendall.
You too, hey, Cap. You too, Cap.
See ya.
So the worst out of this list, out of these 10, who's the worst out of the 10?
Bosh.
Who's second worst?
Dwayne Wade.
No, he's like the third or second best two guard of all time.
No way. Kobe's better than him, and he's on this list. Michael's better than him, he's on this list. Magic's better than him, he's on this
list. Magic's a point guard.
But he's saying on this list, who's the worst?
Oh, just of all the players. Yeah. Talking about two
out of these 10.
Okay. Out of these 10, Dwayne Wade is the second. Bosh is the worst. Dwayne's the second worst.
No, Rodman.
Oh! Get out of here. That defense and rebounding, what he could do, you're kidding me.
Dwayne Wade is like, okay, I'll give you Michael and Kobe. Dwayne Wade's maybe the third best two guard of all time.
He's definitely in the team photo. I don't know about
third. Paul Pierce over him any day of the week.
Paul Pierce!
Oh, my God.
What did Mike Gorman... What did I tell you what Mike Gorman told me? Danny, you remember Mike Gorman, the voice, longtime voice of the Celtics?
Correct.
He said that if I need to have one shot all time, that he's been with the Celtics for 30 years, if I need one shot to win a game, he said, I'd take Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce? I said, not Larry?
Yeah.
Paul Pierce, he said. How about that?
Shot.
So he said. It's Mike Gorman. He's been there forever.
Yeah, no
Paul Pierce was a beast.
I'm not saying he wasn't a good player. I had a Larry? Stop yourself.
He just said he just turned 65, I believe. A Larry. I believe he did.
Is Larry that old?
I think this week turned 65.
Wow. Gary in Bourbon A. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday.
What's going on, Gary?
Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, whoever came up with the idea to have this conversation, this debate, is a freaking genius. It's wonderful, Phil versus Pat and their all-star lineups. But I would just have to say, man, I would literally give a limb. I would chop off one of my own limbs to sit courtside and watch this 5-on-5 matchup. Ooh. But I think the winner of this game would have to be a dimension that nobody's really spoken about yet. I know one guy a couple callers ago said something about Ron Harper, but I think we should have a dimension in the conversation about who these coaches would have come in off of their bench. Because, I mean, you had guys on Kobe and Shaq's team that kind of get forgotten about. Same thing with the Bulls, Ron Harper, Steve Kerr, and then to the Lakers with Phil and, what's his name, Rick Fox, and all the other good role players they had. So, I mean, I think we should start adding to the dimension who's going to sub out for these, you know, these 10 all-stars of all time.
Can you imagine, Gary, thanks for the call, man. Can you imagine Hoodie's got his own private jet?
Rick Fox.
He calls me up. He goes, what are you doing? I got to go do some stuff at TV. Cancel. Tell Shipman you're sick. We're getting on my jet. We are flying to Madison Square Garden tonight. That game's taking place.
Got to go.
Got to be there. And I got courtside seats first row.
Cap.
No, imagine
you're not that. You're not doing the rush today. Let's go. Tell Mindy to keep the food warm on the stove. We're out of here.
We'll be home late.
We're out of here.
That was a great call till he went Rick Fox.
Ah!
I mean, James Worthy. Say James Worthy. I get it. You go Rick Fox, and you've lost.
I don't know. I kind of love Phil can go to Robert Horry off the bench.
Yeah. Robert Horry at least is championship man.
Send Jordan to the bench. Let Robert Horry come off and take the last second shot for you. Big shot, Bob.
Yeah, soon to be Hall of Famer, big shot, Bob.
Let's go to Space in Plainfield. Hey, Space, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Cap Hoodie, how y'all feeling?
All good, man. What's going on with you?
Okay, Space. Okay, go ahead. You got an idea. Go ahead.
I do. First off, I don't know who said Paul Pierce to take that shot. Of all people, I mean, you got one of the greatest shooters ever in Reggie Miller, and it's still same era. Reggie all day over Paul Pierce. So that's just a little sidebar.
Space, sorry, your phone's breaking up. Sorry, you got to let you go.
Go ahead, Space.
Hey, but all day I'm taking Phil. I got to go with the Zen Master. I mean, it's just like the caller said before. I'm playing the matchup game. I'm definitely going to. Instead of having Kobe on Magic, I'm going to put some hands on him. I'm going to put that Pippen, that big size, and the just lockdown on him. And then Rodman, yeah, he's going to irritate. Rodman didn't shower. So he's going to get all in LeBron. LeBron can't deal with people in the stands talking to him. Now, whatever they're screaming, whatever. But he definitely can't stand with somebody who's, you know, been stinky, sweaty all day, and now he's going to be on them all day? Oh, yeah. No, it's a lock. So Bulls all day. You got to play the matchups. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Space.
Space, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Give me the matchups here. How would you handle this? Because we keep hearing a lot of Rodman and LeBron. People want to see what that looks like. I think LeBron would score on Rodman for sure, but he's not getting from the foul line down. People think that, yes, Rodman was a lockdown defender, but not in the perimeter. From the foul line down, he was pretty strong.
I would put Scotty on LeBron.
Put Scotty on LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would put Magic on
Michael.
Wait a minute. So
Kobe?
I would put Kobe on. Here's what I'd do. I put Kobe on Wade.
Kobe on Wade.
Yep. I would put Scotty on Magic.
Scotty on Magic.
Like the 91 NBA Finals.
Yes.
Good call, Cap.
That was an old broken down Magic. Now that team was no good. They were ready to lose. That was the end.
But that was the turning point.
That was a great move by Phil.
Just ask Scotty. It was his best idea ever.
Okay, exactly. So we would have Scotty on Magic.
Yep.
And then we would have
Michael on Wade. Kobe on whom? LeBron?
Probably Kobe on LeBron, because LeBron's more of a perimeter guy.
Nobody could shut Shaq down as well as Kobe.
Hold on a second. We saw that, right? Am I remembering this right? We did see Kobe and LeBron.
We did.
When Kobe was alive. We did see that. Okay.
We did.
Yeah, okay.
And then I would put Rodman on Bosch. And then I would put Shaq on Kareem.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how I would do it. Yeah. That's how I'd coach it.
Yeah.
So
at Bosch is
just remember this, Jonathan.
What's that?
You cut off the head, the body dies.
Yeah.
Magic is the head. There's great players there. You cut off the head, the body dies. You've got to dominate him so he can't dominate you.
We have a lot of young people listening to this show that would say LeBron would be the head in that spot.
No shot. That's Magic's team right there. No shot. That is Magic.
It's a fictitious
Johnson.
Team. There's no head of the snake on this fictitious
He's
team.
He's got the ball
they're
in
all,
his hand
they're
all the
alphas
time.
Alphas on this team.
But the ball is in Magic's hands. If you take him out of running what he wants to run.
That's a good point. LeBron never handles the ball.
Yeah, that's crazy. You shut down Magic. LeBron can play the point as well as anyone.
Who scores the most on Team Pat? LeBron or Magic?
Dwayne.
Probably.
Probably Dwayne.
I would say Kareem or Shaq.
Or Kareem.
Shaq, too.
Kareem.
Feed the big man.
Shaq's on.
So Shaq the good on, guys. on one side, and then on the other side.
My bad.
No, the answer is it's either Kobe or Michael, and they're just scoring tons of points because they're competing with each other to see who could score the most points.
I think it's Michael and LeBron. That's what I think.
Oh, LeBron shrivels up like a raisin when he sees Michael on the court.
The shadow
of Michael is too large for LeBron. He can't even tie his shoes knowing that MJ's on the same
the
court.
The problem is, though, Scottie Pippen's going to sabotage whatever happens in this game.
Scottie Pippen's got a hangnail. He can't play the final 8 minutes.
Because you're not going to F up my thumb.
That's exactly right.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to F my summer up.
Take that. We'll talk to Keyshawn Johnson. We'll ask him this question. That's next.
Take that.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Our guy, Keyshawn Johnson, you hear him all over the ESPN platforms. And he, of course, the star of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And he joins us every Wednesday morning here on Cap and J. Hood. Key, good morning. How are you today, buddy?
What's happening, fellas?
We're talking NBA, and we want your, because we know you're an NBA fan, we want you to pick one of these two teams. Hoodie's going to read you the two teams. It's Pat Riley's 5 against Phil Jackson's 5.
Yeah, so we've been taking calls on this morning, Keith. So Phil Jackson would come out with Kobe, Michael, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Shaquille O'Neal. Pat would have Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who wins?
Okay, give me that one. Slow it down and give it to me one more time.
Phil Jackson has Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Shaquille O'Neal. That's Phil's team. Pat Riley's team has Magic Johnson, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, again, you have some Lakers love there, so are you siding with Magic and Kareem in that spot?
Man. See, it's hard to go against the...
Against my...
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
You can't even talk basketball without mentioning Kareem.
80s rules, by the way. 80s rules, by the way, Key.
Yes. So Shaq...
That don't mean nothing.
That's a do.
Shaq can absolutely get physical with him down low.
You know,
that's why I said it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
How so?
You see the difference in the game today than it was in the 80s.
Oh, God, stop.
You don't see the difference in the game?
The same guys that play today can play in the 80s, and the same guys that play in the 80s can play today.
I'm just talking about how it's officiated. That's all I'm saying. There's no touch fouls.
How it is officiated.
It's different, right?
I mean, if you're talking about... Okay, you said the rules, not the physical play, but just the rules.
Right.
I'm still probably... Kobe and Jordan can both shoot.
Right.
Shaq can bang down low.
Mm-hmm.
Pippen was an okay shooter. LeBron's an okay shooter. Dwayne Wade can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Magic.
The problem that you have is... Outside of, who's going to guard Magic? Because that's a big point guard. I got to go with Phil.
There you go.
Wow.
That's who we went with.
Wow. Put that on the bottom line.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to go with Phil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I got two killers in Jordan and Kobe.
Yep.
And then I got another beast in Shaq.
Yep.
Kareem was obviously Kareem, but I got three enforcers. You know, Rodman gonna foul out or get kicked out, one of the two.
It's a hell of a game, man. A hell of a game.
I just think like Kareem against Shaq in those rules. Like Kareem would still get his, but Shaq's dominance though on the inside that'd be something.
That would be something.
Yeah.
But Shaq got to guard the unguardable.
Okay, so
that is true.
All right, I want to switch to football. I want to read you something, and I want you to react to this. Chicago Bears record since 2017 when Mitchell Trubisky starts, 29-21, .580 win percentage. When anybody else starts, 8-18, that's .308. And Matt Nagy's passing offense, he was brought here because he was supposed to be a guru, is averaging 173.8 yards per game this season, dead last in the NFL. By comparison, Sid Luckman from 1943 to 1947 averaged 189.5 passing yards. So Matt Nagy's passing offense is literally less efficient than the Bears in the 1940s. So my question to you is there more talent here than Matt's getting out of it? And the right guy comes in, he can win? Or are the Bears that god-awful?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Bears don't have enough talent. And I don't think Matt Nagy or whoever signed off on him bamboozled the Chicago fan base and the organization into hiring him as the head coach. You know, one of the things that I talked about is if you just scour across the leagues, over countless years, guru type, he's great offensive coordinator, but he ain't never calling the plays. See, and they hire these guys. Sean McVay called the plays for the Washington football team. Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy did not call the plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? But for whatever reason, they felt as though he was the offensive play caller when we know he was not calling the plays. It was Andy Reid. And too many times, often than not, the guy who's hired as the head coach has never called plays on a consistent level in the National Football League. That's why he flounders when he becomes a head coach and he falters. Sean Payton called the plays with the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. So when he went to the New Orleans Saints, guess what? He called the plays. He actually called the plays. Mike Holmgren called the plays. Andy Reid called the plays. Okay? George Seifert called the plays. Steve Mariucci called the plays. When you have people that actually call the plays, they are better coordinators when they become head coaches than guys that don't call plays but get this tag as an offensive innovator. Kyle Shanahan called the plays for Atlanta. Eric Bieniemy is calling the plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. So when he goes to another stop, it's not going to be, well, you know, like Jason Garrett did not call the plays for the Dallas Cowboys as a head coach. He called them a little bit while he was with Wade Phillips. But you see how that worked out when he had to call the plays when he got to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Nagy did not call the plays at Kansas City, but you was told that based on Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, and you just thought, oh, we're getting a play caller. It's like, no, you're not. You're almost getting like a coach that Andy Reid wanted to get rid of.
Well, Keith, what do you like most about Green Bay so far this year? We had so many storylines about Aaron Rodgers, whether he's going to come back or not, and just the whole thing with the team. So what do you think of the Packers so far this year?
Well, I think he owns a little stock in the Chicago Bears, right?
He owns us, yes.
There we go.
Yep.
I just think that they're playing good football. I mean, he's playing good football. They're winning in many different ways. Aaron Jones is coming back now. Their defense is slightly better with people questioning Joe Barry's ability to call the defense because his debacle days in Detroit and Washington when he didn't have the talent, and now he has a little bit of talent, the defense looks different. I mean, they're the team, obviously, to beat in the division, and they may be the team to beat in the conference.
Okay, I've got to ask you this question about Justin Fields. Jay Cutler came out on Waddle and Sylvie here and said he would not play Justin the rest of the season unless you were bringing Matt back. He said, if you're bringing the coach back, that's fine, but if you're not bringing the coach back, what do you gain putting him out there in harm's way? He's had cracked ribs. He wouldn't play him. Other people disagree with that. What is your feeling on that?
If he's healthy, he should play to get the repetition. Even though Matt Nagy's not going to be there, he should still play to get the reps. The more he plays, the better off he's going to be. If he's healthy. But if he's not healthy, no, you don't play him.
Okay, my last one is there a head coach you would be willing, and Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, and Pete Carroll are off the board. You can't have them. They're too old. Is there a current NFL head coach that they said, yeah, you give us a high draft pick, second round or whatever it is, first round pick, you can have our guy. I listed, I think, six guys that I would be willing to do that for, like Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton, guys like that. Would you do that if you were in charge of the Bears to go get a proven commodity?
Yeah, but so what makes you think Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin want to coach the Bears?
Because I'll pay him $20 million a year.
But the Saints are paying him $20 million a year.
Don't you ever want a fresh start, reinvigorated?
If I want a fresh start, I'll wait for the Dallas Cowboys to falter. I'll go take the Giants and be in New York and, you know, take full control of the team if I'm Sean Payton. I'll wait for the Cowboys to fall flat on their face.
You see, Key, here's the issue with my partner. He believes that if you just give a boatload of money, that you'll just come to the opportunity. And I always say, yes, I want the money. There's no question. But I also want to be able to win. If the infrastructure is not in place where I feel like I could bring in my own president of football operations and change of scouting and all that, if I can't do any of those things, if you got me handcuffed, then I'm just a rich guy that's losing. So I have generational wealth, but what about the winning? That's my whole thing.
You know who I would go get?
Who?
I go get me a Luke Fickell type, man. Go get me one of them Vrabel clones. He's like a Vrabel clone. Mm-hmm. Went to Ohio State, defensive guy. I go get me one of those guys like that. Go get me a Brian Daboll. Go get me one of them.
Yeah, I don't want a coordinator who's never been a head coach. This is Chicago. This is not Carolina.
Well, you had a head coach that wasn't nothing but a coordinator. He took you to the Super Bowl. How did that work out for y'all?
To my Lovey.
Oh, Lovey.
Yep. You got to
now,
the Super Bowl,
we
right?
We got to stay now, Hood.
Hey, I'm with you.
Would you take that now?
Absolutely, because at least you were winning. You were under, and plus you had an identity. I don't know what the Bears' identity is now. It used to be defense. I'm not sure what it is now.
Yeah. Brian Flores is doing a pretty decent job in Miami. And he was never a head coach.
What's he won? Nothing.
Oh.
He just got there.
I'm shopping at the top shelf, Key. I've got a $4 billion asset. I'm building a new stadium eventually here. I am shopping at the top shelf. I'm tired of getting guys who go, meh, meh. He's never done it. I want the best.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But you know there's only about 5 to 6 head coaches in the National Football League. You're not getting Harbaugh. There's only 5 or 6 dudes that's like that.
Yeah,
and they all are currently with their teams.
Yeah, John Harbaugh would be another guy I'd trade a pick for. Yes.
But what you would do if you're smart, you go hire Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. How many times I got to tell y'all that?
No.
Or Ryan Day.
See, you say no. Why no?
No, he's good at Michigan. He's good. He's happy.
He was good at the 49ers. What was wrong with him at the 49ers?
He don't.
What's wrong with him other than unlofty expectations by Michigan? What was wrong with him at the 49ers? What was wrong with him at Stanford? What was wrong with him at UC San Diego? Nothing. He has won everywhere he's been.
Is he bringing Kaepernick with him?
Yeah, but you can't get caught. Get caught up. Kaepernick is done. Don't get caught up in that. That wasn't on him.
I just remember how good that offense was with those RPOs. That was difference making offense.
But they still ran the same offense with Alex Smith and was still doing a pretty damn good job.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Smith got hurt and opened the door for Kaepernick to take him to the Super Bowl. But Alex Smith had thrived under Jim Harbaugh, and so did the rest of the team. You got recency bias in your brain and how he exited and all. Don't think about that. Just think about him as a good football coach. See, that's part of the problem that happens in the National Football League. People get caught up in the hype and in the narratives and what people say about other people, so they don't want to hire them. And it's like, come on, man. Like Lewis Riddick of Monday Night Football, he's supposed to be a general manager in the National Football League.
Yes.
But because people say, he wasn't in Philly, he wasn't in Washington, they kind of let him go. And then, so what? Everybody got a different opinion. He knows what the hell he's talking about and how to build a team.
Yeah. Well, intelligence is intimidating for some people, clearly.
It is.
Clearly.
No question.
That's why he's not in position.
King, we got to roll. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right, buddies. We'll talk.
We'll talk. See ya. There he is, Keyshawn Johnson. Your calls are lighting up our phone lines. We'll get to those next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Michael Jordan called during the show, just said, I ain't playing with Scotty.
Oh?
I'm done with him.
Wow. We're looking for a heel turn on Pippen. Would it be on the same team with Michael in that situation?
Correct.
All of a sudden, Pippen just leaves. I'm going to go up my thumb.
Yeah. Scotty.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to f*** my summer up.
Take that.
I can't say this clearer. Especially for our younger listeners, this kind of drama was wide open. It wasn't like the soft Twitter now where the Maya Angelou quotes, trying to kind of hide your feelings through quotes and inspirational. Man, he was wide open.
Wide open.
Like Wayne Larrabee with the mic. It's like, what do you think, Scotty? I'm not going to F up my summer.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more Bulls basketball.
Right.
I mean, Jerry Krause calling Cap. Let me on now. Kaplan, start this. Roll it. All right, your thoughts, sir, about the Chicago Bulls. If Phil Jackson can go 72-0. 72-0, he's not returning to the Bulls.
Correct.
I mean, it was no hidden agenda. It's wide open.
It was literally, when you want to tape this, I can do it right now. Let's go. I said, Jerry, great day for the franchise. You were able to re-sign your future Hall of Fame coach. Yes, though, we agreed to a one-year deal with Phil, and he could go 72-0, and he's not returning after this year.
What?
No hidden agenda.
82-0.
No speculation. None of that.
82-0.
82-0, you said. Yes. 82-0. Cap.
Wow.
Now, today, it's shrouded in, like, you know, on Twitter and Instagram and reflections. And No. Back then, just like, I'm not playing. I don't want to be with that guy. I'm leaving this team. Period.
Done.
Just amazing. Crazy.
Taylor in Hyde Park. Hey, Taylor.
This Pat Riley and Phil Jackson thing wrong. I get the homerism with Michael and whatnot, but let's take a look at Pat Riley's team. You got more MVPs on his team. You got five guys who at one point in their careers can score 30 consistently. You got Chris Bosh, who you could say is the worst player. I think it's really Dennis Rodman on out of those 10, who can actually shoot a corner three. You got actually have guys who can pass the ball on Pat Riley's team. I think the leading assist player on Phil Jackson's team would be Shaq. And, you know, in my opinion, and then let's be honest, there wouldn't be enough balls for Michael and Kobe. So I think from a 5-on-5 standpoint, I think you have more talent on Pat Riley's team than you do on Phil Jackson's team. And so that's kind of how I see it. And not to mention adding the three ball in there, being able to stretch the floor. You got one guy who is the all-time points leader in the NBA, another guy on that team who is going to be the all-time points leader in the NBA. I mean, I think we're just kind of missing the boat on, you know, some of those that information.
Taylor, if I was doing this show in Anchorage, Alaska, I would say that I would take Team Phil. It's not about homerism as much as it is looking at Michael and Kobe as two assassins, a lockdown defender like Rodman, Pippen, who also was locked down, and Shaq, the most dominant center we've seen.
Who is he going to lock down? I'm gonna take, if you put him on Bosh, I'm going to take him out the three-point line. He can't guard at the three-point line. He can't guard
Whoa. Who can't guard at the three-point line?
Let's keep it real. Who is he guarding at the three-point line in his career? Who?
Well, who's shooting threes? Bosh?
Bosh is in a corner three all day, every day, stretching them out. And that's money every single time.
You are out of your mind.
No, but you haven't answered my question. Who was he guarding at the three-point line in his career? Who?
Didn't have to. I mean, he doesn't have to.
Exactly. So think about who he's playing against. Like, let's not just jump to the Michael with the six rings type talk. You got one MVP in Shaq, one MVP in Kobe, and no MVP sniffed around for any other guys except for Michael. You got six and five and four individual MVPs on Pat Riley's team. You got guys who can pass the ball, shoot the ball from distance, and defend.
I listed to you how you match them up.
Let's match them up. Let's do a five right, a 5-on-5 right now. Match them up defensively.
I just did.
So you had, who'd you have on LeBron?
I have,
you said Pippen, didn't you?
No, I put Pippen on Magic. Who did I put on LeBron? I'm trying to remember how I did this now. Pippen on Magic. I had Rodman on Bosh. Shaq on Kareem. Mm-hmm. That would get nasty inside. Michael on LeBron. And Kobe on Dwayne Wade.
Stop. Okay, so you got Kareem was an all-time leading scorer. You think Shaq's stopping that?
Yes.
No way.
How many skyhooks does Kareem have? Because they're going to push him out of the lane. So
he could have 1,000. It's unstoppable. It's the most unstoppable. It's the most unstoppable shot on the entire court.
When you are 340 pounds and you're athletic like he was in his prime, good luck trying to enter the ball inside. Good luck.
Showtime Lakers. Showtime, we're running up and down the court nonstop. We got two guys who can push the ball and run and pass in Showtime every single time.
Stop
you got a
yourself.
Guy going to the three-point line, spotting up every single time.
So Taylor, from your standpoint, you're saying that because of the three-point shot, like LeBron and Bosch would have a leg up on the other team, right?
I think they would, and because, again, Robin's not scoring any points on that floor.
That's true.
He's only there to defend. You can't have a guy with that much talent on that court and have one guy who just can't score the ball. And Pippen really can't score that much either, given kind of, you know, again, with Michael and all that stuff. So I just don't see it from an individual standpoint. Pat Riley's team has more talent.
Hey, gotcha. Man, we got to roll. Thank you for weighing in.
Yep.
I'll see you in Mellow Yellow later on.
There you go.
We'll take fast time out. We have a TV show we highly recommend for you. Next.
Take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So we try to give you some recommendations for TV shows. We've recommended over the years Succession, it's just called Squid Game.
It's The Get Up and just Squid Game.
Right, Danny calls it The Get Up.
Yes.
We've recommended over the years, one of my favorites was 24, then it was Breaking Bad many years ago, and now we're... The latest season of Curb, you guys are telling everybody, is amazing. Danny, what is the latest recommendation for the audience?
Gentlemen, I cannot highly recommend this enough to you and to all our listeners. There is a show on Netflix starring Kevin Hart called True Story.
Mm-hmm.
I started it late last week while I was
Wesley
working
Snipes
out.
Wesley Snipes is in that, too.
Yep. Wesley Snipes
I
is
heard
in
it's
it.
It's great.
It's called True Story. It's a drama. Kevin Hart is not funny whatsoever. He almost plays himself. His character's name is The Kid. He's a huge comedian. He's a huge movie star.
He's not funny. He almost plays himself.
Well, no, the show is not funny. What I'm saying is it's not a comedy. You're not going to be laughing at it. But Kevin Hart's character is kind of like himself. He's a huge comedian. He sells out Madison Square Garden. He's on The Ellen Show. He's in movies. He's a hit character. He goes home to Philadelphia. He hangs out with his brother, who is Wesley Snipes. They go out for one night, and something terrible happens in that one night while they're out, and the show just snowballs from there. And it is really good. It's kind of keeps you guessing who did it, what's next, what's going to happen. I love it. I loved it.
We'll definitely check that out because, you know, it's funny. When you can find a comedian that has that type of that could be able to be serious and be funny, it shows the range of that person. So Kevin Hart, he was also in another movie just recently, right, this year, where he was playing as a single parent. Again, a serious role for a comedian. Mm-hmm. You love that kind of range. So, okay, we'll write it down.
There you go.
So, again, True Story
on Netflix.
True Story. Got it.
Let's go to the phones. Kevin wants to weigh in on our basketball discussion. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Sparky?
I've been listening all morning about the whole discussion, and I was going to say I get off work right around noon. If you guys were to composite a bench with the coaches, I was going to go on the video game 2K22, put the triangle offense in for the Jackson team, whatever offense Pat Riley ran, and then I was going to do a best of seven to simulate it all. I'd call back tomorrow morning and let you guys know.
If you do that, we'd appreciate that because we haven't come up with a bench yet. Someone mentioned Rick Fox. I'm not sure if Rick would make it.
Yeah, I heard that. That's why I brought up the idea.
Yeah.
If you want off the air, whatever, I could give you my Twitter or something like that, and we could you guys can figure that out, and I would run that simulation for you.
Yes, tweet at us.
Hang on, and Danny will get your Twitter, and then you can DM
you
us.
You got it.
All right?
You got it.
All right, hold on, kid.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Anken Law, Howard Anken, 3126 million.
You don't have this problem, but Danny and I have this problem, and I think that Jeff has kind of streamlined this whole thing with the DVR. Now, I'm so glad that Danny gave us a suggestion for True Story for Kevin Hart because that's something I don't have to DVR. Mm-hmm. You just turn on the Netflix and bam, it's right there for you.
Just tell the remote.
Yeah.
Play True Story on Netflix.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's right there, right?
Right there for you.
But this whole thing with the DVR, man, like I just don't understand. I mean, like, so it's at 90% or more. Why? because Peacock has all the shows going back to, I believe, 2019. Their shows that's on there.
Whoa.
That's ridiculous.
So I say very little on our DVR.
Yeah.
I still have the 2016 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple things around that. I used to tape Sports Talk Live every night so that if I needed to go back and reference, I had it, but I deleted all that. That's gone because the show's gone.
Sure.
My wife doesn't watch TV. Very, very, very little. So it's basically my DVR. You guys don't get that luxury,
no,
as you just said. And Danny's wife, I think, is in love with David Muir.
So what do you have?
I think she is in love with David Muir.
Okay, so you have a lot of, I think you and I have the same wife. Same problem as far as the DVR situation?
I believe we're married to the exact same woman. My wife is a hoarder in real life, and she is a hoarder in the DVR. I showed Hoodie this morning in our pre-show meeting that we have in our DVR 234 episodes of World News Tonight with David Muir saved. We have episodes literally from 2019 still in my DVR that cannot be erased.
That's ridiculous.
She'll never go back and watch them.
She'll never go back and watch. But if I start erasing them, she'll notice they're gone, and I'll never hear the end of it.
Okay, so I need for you to go through your entire DVR and what you have, and I will go through mine, and then we will compare notes tomorrow. And Jeff, what's your DVR number right now? 60%, 70%?
Oh, God, no. Like I said, in terms of used, I'm over 90%. It's a constant managing on a day-to-day basis. And that's actually when we were discussing Curb right before Shot or No Shot.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I finally deleted the 5 unwatched episodes of Curb from my DVR to clear out some space. Listen, it's easy because I've also got HBO Max, so yeah, I can stream them at any moment. It's just for ease. It's a lot of times nice to have, like, on your DVR, right? Just to go back and forth. Sometimes with the fast forward, rewind, pause mm-hmm. situation, I feel like it's better than a lot of the streaming services. So I finally said, all right, I'm cutting the ties. I haven't watched this stuff. I'm deleting Curb because as much as you guys love it, for whatever reason, it usually is just annoying and aggravating enough for me where I'm like, you know what? I can't sit through this.
I can understand. You don't want to deal with Danny twice. So
yes,
I understand.
That's probably, yes.
At work every day.
I already get
and
the
on,
young version of Larry David.
I remind
David.
You of Vince Vaughn.
I got the young version of Larry David in my life every day. I don't need the old version.
You don't need Larry David twice. I understand that.
Good
but,
point.
But keep in mind, as we put a bow on this episode, just remember, out of all of us, Cap did it right. You think about it, right? You say what you want about Cap. He did it right. He found a wife that was learning everything in life through by candlelight and by lantern. Because she didn't have lights, she did not have a TV.
Correct.
Lived in a barn in Dixon, right?
She's from Dixon, and they just got electricity in 2018.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it's a big weekend in Dixon this weekend. Jaws is premiering.
Is it really? I didn't know that. Yes. Yeah. At the old Plitt.
Yes.
At the old theater.
So, yes.
I see. Well, that's very good to know. See, but keep in mind, Cap did it right. He doesn't have to worry about the DVR. She doesn't like TV. And Cap's got the TV for himself.
That's it.
You did well.
Only 24% of our DVR is being used.
Wow. And that's all you, right?
That's all me.
That's tremendous.
Isn't that tremendous?
Danny, Cap did it right.
He did it right.
Take that.
Mindy didn't do it right, but Cap did it right.
Really? She won the lottery.
What? You were a scratch-off ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, watch us on Twitch, brought to you by Miller Lite. We will crosstalk with Carmen J. DeFalco and Jonathan Yurkovich in 2 minutes.